For this portion of Organic Matters, we're going to talk about something I don't think I've brought up before, but I've thought about it, I've read about it. I don't know why I haven't, in all these years, brought it up on my show. It's called regenerative agriculture. If you've never heard about the amazing potential of regenerative agriculture and land use practices to naturally sequester a critical mass of this carbon dioxide in the soil and forest. Well, the truth is you're not alone, because I've talked about people that are pretty up on the subjects of kind of, let's call it, save the world, and they're not aware of it. It's more or less one of the best kept secrets in the world today, and it's that the solution to global warming, at least part of it, and the climate crisis, as well as poverty and deteriorating public health, lies right under our feet. And, to some degree, at the end of our knives and forks. So what is regenerative agriculture? That it sort of describes farming and grazing practices that, among other benefits, reverse climate change by rebuilding soil's organic matter and restoring degraded soil biodiversity. That results in both carbon drawdown and improving the water cycle. More specifically, regenerative agriculture is like a holistic land management practice that leverages the power of photosynthesis in plants to close the carbon cycle, which in turn will build soil health, crop resilience, and nutrient density. Regenerative agriculture improves soil health primarily through the practices that increase soil organic matter, which we've all talked about. Come on, the name of my show, Organic Matters. This not only aids in increasing soil biota, the biota that's in there, the diversity and the health, but increases biodiversity both above and below the soil surface, at the same time increasing both water holding capacity and sequestering carbon at greater depths, thus drawing down climate-damaging levels of atmospheric CO2 and improving soil structure to reverse civilization-threatening, human-caused soil losses. Ongoing research continues to reveal the damaging effects to soil from tillage, applications of agricultural chemicals, and especially salt-based fertilizers. Regenerative agriculture reverses this paradigm to build the soil back for the future. So basically, what are regenerative agricultural practices? They're practices that contribute to generating, building soil and soil fertility and health, increasing water percolation, water retention, clean and safe water runoff, increase biodiversity and ecosystem health, and the resiliency to its ability to come back and invert the carbon emissions of our current agricultural setup to one of a very, very different and significant carbon sequestration, thereby cleansing the atmosphere over time of what we now call legacy levels of the man-made CO2s that we've increased through our industrial use of our agriculture and, of course, industrial production. Just to add a reminder here that folks, for hundreds of years, up until about the late 1800s, early 1900s, that level of CO2 stayed the same for millennia. And now it's up way over what we thought 350 was as far as we could go, and look what's happening. We're over about, it was at 280 forever, give or take a few points on a decade type basis. Now it's well over 400 and climbing more every day. How people cannot realize that that is going to affect everything that lives around us, including us, of course, is just a little bit naive to me. Let me just give you a few practices that are really part of regenerative agriculture. We won't go real deep into it, but I think it's something we should all think about. No-till or minimum tillage. We've been talking about this for 30 years that I know of. Tillage breaks up, it pulverizes soil, and it ruins fungal communities while adding a heck of a lot of oxygen to the soil. For that, of course, causes increased respiration, which gives us what? More CO2. It can be one of the most degrading agricultural practices. It greatly increases soil erosion and carbon loss. A secondary effect is soil capping and slacking that can plug soil spaces for percolation, which creates much more water runoff. Instead of, other words in English again, instead of the water going into the soil as it's done forever, now it rolls off. You get much more runoff when that soil gets capped in it, and that water can't get through that cap. And I should say here, conversely, no-till or minimum tillage in conjunction with other regenerative practices enhances soil aggregation, water infiltration and retention, and carbon sequestration. In continuing studies, it has shown that there are certain times you do have to do what we call interim ripping to break down and break hard pans, mostly because we created the hard pans by taking the original plants and changing the structure of the soil. So at certain times, we do recommend, short term especially, what we call chiseling. And that will give you positive effects so you get that soil opened back up. But that's really just part of getting started in this regenerative agricultural practice. And do realize, soil fertility is increased in regenerative systems biologically through applications of cover crops, crop rotations, compost, and especially animal manures, which restore the plant soil microbiome to promote liberation, transfer, and cycling of the essential soil nutrients. Artificial and synthetic fertilizers have created imbalances in the structure and function of microbial communities in soils, bypassing the natural biological uptake of nutrients for the plants, creating a dependent, what I call, ever agro ecosystem and weaker, less resilient plants. Research has shown that application of synthetic and artificial fertilizers contribute to climate change through the energy cost of production and transportation of the fertilizers, chemical breakdown and migration into water resources and eventually into the atmosphere, the distortion of soil microbial communities, including the diminution structures and the accelerated decomposition of soil organic matter. Building biological ecosystem diversity begins first with the inoculation of soils with compost or compost extracts to restore the soil microbial community population, the structure and functionality restoring the whole soil system energy setup. Through full-time planting of multiple crop or intercrop plantings, definitely multi-species cover crops, getting away from monocrops, and borders planted. We got away from all that in the 50s and 60s. Those borders help for bee habitat and for other beneficial animals. They're part of the ecosystem. This can include the highly successful, what they call push-pull system. It is critical to change synthetic nutrient-dependent monocultures, low diversity, and soil degrading practices, and get back into multi-species plantings and away from this soil degrading practices that we've been practicing for a few hundred years now. Well-managed grazing practices stimulate improved plant growth, increased soil carbon deposits and overall pasture and grazing land productivity, while greatly increasing soil fertility, insect and plant biodiversity, and soil carbon sequestration. And let me note here, these practices not only improve ecological health, but also the health of the animal and human consumer through improved micronutrients availability and better dietary omega balances. Feedlots and confined animal feeding systems, CAFUs, contribute dramatically to the unhealthy monoculture production systems, low nutrient density forage, increased water pollution, antibiotic usage and resistance, and CO2 and methane emissions, all of which together yield broken and ecosystem degrading food production systems. And as we approach and are about to get to 8 billion of us, we cannot be this sloppy anymore. We can't be this inefficient. We can take care of our earth, feed ourselves. We've got more food. We can feed everybody in the world right now if we could get the food to them. We do know how to do this, but we've got to let it be sustainable. It's not going to be sustainable if all we do is continue to degradate where we raise our food and how we raise our foods. We need, in the fancy words, a paradigm change on the way we feed the world. To kind of tie up this portion of the show, let me just kind of off the top of my head bring up one other thing that is not brought up here as regenerative agriculture, because it really isn't agriculture. And that's our situation with the worldwide fishes that we take by the millions of pounds a day. We're going to have to make some effort to deal with the ocean in a very similar way to right now what we're learning and how we're learning to deal with our soils and our planting and farming, ranching practices. It's time we force, I hate to use that word, everyone around the world to quit using the ocean as a garbage dump, number one. And I mean garbage like nuclear waste. That has got to end. And then we've got to put into practice sustainable fishing habits. How many can we take? When can we take them? When do they breed? Where do they breed? Believe it or not, folks, there's a lot of species out there we really don't even know their entire life cycle yet. Yet we go out with huge 10-mile-long nets and we gather not only the species we want, unfortunately, there's what's called bycatch that just usually goes to waste. It doesn't go anywhere. It gets dumped back in the ocean or just is just a waste of living matter. We've got to get over that. We've got to figure out how to be at least as efficient in the ocean as I hope we're learning to be on our lands. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.